Turn with me again to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Tonight, again, we're going to move at lightning's pace. We're going to cover four words tonight. And tonight we're going to look at the truth of hallowed be thy name. Matthew chapter 6. Now, remember what we're doing here. We're taking the passages in which the Lord taught on prayer in the gospel. We're putting them in chronological order as the Lord shared them. And then we're learning that as we do that, as He shared these principles of prayer, they're progressive. Each builds upon the other. And we started with enter into thy closet. Then we went to do not pray in vain repetition, for God knows your needs before you ask. And then last week we began looking at what we call the model prayer. This is the prayer in which the Lord has given us as a model of principles of prayer. Now, remember what we said about this. This is not a formula. In other words, it's not something that you just repeat over and over again, because if you do that, that falls back into the vain repetition. And the Lord really admonished that not to do that. But what this is just teaches us the principles of what prayer life should look like. And so last week we began by looking at our Father, which art in heaven. And we saw this attitude of affection, this co-affection, this affection we have for Him as our Heavenly Father, and the affection He has for us as His, our Heavenly Father, how He takes care of His children, and how we can go to Him with confidence of knowing that He is our Heavenly Father. And then the Lord makes this statement. Now I want to read, I'm just going to read the whole prayer real quick, and you can quote it from memory probably. Let's just remind ourselves of this prayer. After this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive those, or forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so that's the prayer. And so as we look today, we're going to look at these four words, the bottom of verse 9, hallowed be thy name. Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight. Father, I thank you again for your word and for your truth. Father, I thank you for allowing us the privilege to be able to glean from the teaching of our Lord concerning the subject of prayer. And Father, I pray that we are growing in this truth. I pray that it's conforming how we pray. It's molding and shaping how we pray. And Father, I pray that even as we begin and continue into this journey, that Father, step by step, you would continue to conform us and transform us in the attitude of prayer. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for what you do and how you do it. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said, well, what we're going to look at tonight may seem like something that would be just a no-brainer. Hallowed be thy name. But I'm here to tell you that I believe probably the one thing that will hinder a Christian's prayer life more than anything is the subject that we're looking at tonight. Because I don't think we truly understand what this means to hallow His name. I don't think we truly understand what it entails, what it involves. And so tonight we're going to look at an in-depth study. Now, I will say this, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses because the Bible has a lot to say on this. And I would tell you this, as many verses as we're going to look at tonight, it's really just touching the hem of the garment of what's really contained within these four words. But for the sake of time, I've condensed it down to these truths. And so, I want us to look at this tonight. What does it mean to hallow the name of the Lord? The word hallow here is the root of the word we get to sanctify. It's the same word that comes from the idea of sanctify. Meaning what? To set apart, to be made what? Holy. It has two ideas to it. Number one, it has the idea of honoring His name. And secondly, it has the idea of setting His name apart as holy. In other words, when we're talking about hallowing His name, it means that in our hearts and in our lives, we are setting Him apart in our hearts to be supremely holy and to be supremely honored. In other words, everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, our whole mindset, our whole attitude, our whole motivation in our prayer life is to honor Him, and that's first and foremost, and to have a mindset that He is supremely holy, and to set Him apart that way in your mind and in your heart. And this is what this means. Now, let me give you some examples of where this would play in. Now, think about it just a minute. How many times when we bless the food when we eat, do we just flippantly say some words and then get to the place of eating? Can I tell you? That's not hallowing His name. In other words, when we enter into prayer, whether it's blessing the food, whether it's our prayer time or whatever it is, we in our minds and our hearts are setting Him apart to be honored and to be holy. And therefore, our whole focus, our whole mind, our whole attention is on Him and for His glory and His glory alone. And that's what prayer is. And this is what the Lord is teaching in these four simple words. Now, I want us to look at some truths concerning this. Now, the first thing is what I call the righteousness of God's name. Hallowed, holy is thy name. The righteousness of God's name. Now, what is this idea of this name? What is it referring to? Which name are we to refer to? Is it Father? Is it Elohim? Is it Elyon? Is it Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Shalom? Jehovah Nitzki? Which name is it we are to use? Well, the idea here is not a specific name of God. Every one of those names speak of different characteristics of who God is. But when we see this word, hallow thy name, the idea here is the total person of who God is and all His characteristics wrapped up into one. So in other words, we're to hallow Him or honor Him or set apart Him to be holy in our lives, and we're to do that with an attitude of heart that all that He is worthy to be honored. And all that He is holy. And all that He is and all the characteristics that are involved in His person is to be, for you and I, set apart in our hearts and our lives when we pray. And this is what it means to hallow His name. Now, so with that being said, it reveals God's person. It reveals God's person. This is the idea of that name. Now, you remember when Moses went up to the mount for God to reveal His glory to Moses. Y'all remember that? Moses kept saying, I want to see Your glory. And God sent Moses up to the mount. And here's what happened. Moses began to cry out for God to show His glory. God passed before Moses. And when God passed before Moses, listen to what was said. The Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And here's what Moses started with. The Lord God. In other words, Moses acknowledging the person of God. And the characteristics of God flowed out of what Moses called God and how Moses viewed God. And so, listen, when God speaks of His name, He's speaking of His person. He wants to reveal His person. And you and I can never pray in this vein if we don't understand the person of God. Most people don't understand the character of God and the characteristics of God. Most people don't understand that God is not only merciful and gracious and forgiving. Aren't you glad for all of that? But He's also holy and just and jealous. And God is all of that too. And so as we pray, we need to understand the whole person of God. And God reveals this in His name. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, part of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. In other words, God's not going to let a person go that takes His name in vain. What does it mean to take the name of the Lord in vain? Now, when we think of that, we think of something that is what we call curse words. Well, I want to tell you, you can take the Lord's name in vain and not even say a cuss word. You can take the Lord's name in vain just by using His name flippantly. You ever had somebody tell you something and you said something that just used His name out of surprise? That's taking His name in vain. Can you understand that any time you use the name of God in such a way that does not honor Him, does not lift Him up as holy, does not reverence Him, it doesn't matter what motivation or what heart you're saying it with, you're taking His name in vain. That's what it means. And this reveals the person of God. For God is a person who has all these characteristics and who is holy, and God said, I won't let people take my name in vain. And we do it all the time and we don't even realize it. We do it all the time and we don't even realize it. Well, the second thing is it reveals God's passion. Reveals God's passion. Passion for what? Passion for His name. Listen to this verse. Ezekiel chapter 39 verse 25. Therefore saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy what? Name. There's two things that God says He's jealous of. Bible says He's a jealous God. He's jealous over His people. But He's also jealous over His name. And God takes His name seriously. His character, His person, His nature. He takes it seriously. And listen, folks, when we go to the Lord in prayer and we start praying unto Him and we start praying Father and we start praying to Him in that love relationship that we have with Him, we need to pray from an attitude of heart that God is passionate about His name. Let me tell you something. We know that all that we do ought to be done for the glory of God. We understand that. But here's where we need to get to. We need to get to the place where that becomes the fabric of everything we pray. You say, what do you mean by that? If you look through the Old Testament, we're not going to have time to journey through this, but you look through the Old Testament, you'll find something prayed by the prophets repeatedly. And here's what it is. For Thy name's sake. For Thy name's sake. In other words, God, would You do this not for me, but for Thy name's sake. God, would You do this for Thy name's sake. What is they saying? God, would You do it just so You could be glorified. Just so You could be honored. Let me tell you something that will change your prayer life. How many of y'all got things in your life you're praying God would do in your own life? Amen? Well, two of us raised our hand. The rest of you need to read the Bible a little bit. Amen? God will show you some things. Amen. How many of you got things you're praying about in your own personal life? Amen. All right, now let me ask you a question. Are you asking God just to do it? And what's your motivation in asking? Are you asking Him to do it so you would feel better? Or are you asking Him to do it for His name's sake? That He'd be glorified. This is what this involves. The passion. Reveals the passion of God for His name. Thirdly, it reveals God's purpose. God's purpose. What do you mean God's purpose? Everything God does, everything, your redemption, your forgiveness, Christ paying the price for our sin, every will and way of God in your life, why does God do it? For one purpose and one purpose only. For His name's sake. You say, well, preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, look at the Word. Notice what it says. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 6. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know it in that day that I am He that does speak. Behold, it is I. What is God doing everything for? That people would know His what? Name. Everything is for that. I want you to look at this passage. Ezekiel chapter 36. I want to read several verses here because this is a truth that we need to grab a hold of. Ezekiel 36, verse number 16. This is speaking about Israel. and Israel in their sin and God judging their sin, but then showing mercy upon them. But I want you to listen to how God words this. The prophet speaking for as the voice piece of God. Listen to what it says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as uncleanness or a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed throughout the countries according to their way. According to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of the land. But, how many agree God should have just wrote them off? But, how many agree God should have just wiped them out? But, aren't you glad He's merciful? But I want you to see the reason He showed mercy. It wasn't for them. Notice what it says. But I had pity for my holy name. Why did I have pity? For my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went. So why did God save you? Listen, I want to take some starch out of our shirts. God didn't save us for us. God saved us for His name's sake. Why? Because through us, we'd be vessels that would show forth who He is. And His name would be further throughout the world. For Him. For Him. So listen, how does this relate to my prayer life? You ought to pray with this mindset. Father, whatever I'm praying, whatever I'm asking, Father, would You do that You'd be glorified, and being glorified, Your name would be promoted throughout the world. In other words, Father, is there something coming out of this that'll bring glory to Your name? And listen, if it doesn't bring glory to His name, I promise you, He's not going to answer. Amen? This is the truth. This is what this means. Hallowed be Thy name. So it reveals God's purpose. Now, I want you to see the last thing, the fourth thing. It reveals God's protection. What do you mean by protection? Well, if He's jealous over His name, how many of you agree He's going to protect His name? It's amazing to me how many times God has to work around people to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. What do you mean working around people? How many agree God wants to accomplish His will through individuals? And God has a will for your life. Every one of you. Every person in here that's saved, God's got a perfect will for your life. And what is that perfect will? Whatever it is, it's to glorify Him. It's for His name's sake, whatever it is. Whether it's to reach your neighbor, whether it's to reach your workplace, whether it's to do something else. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, it's to glorify Him. But what if we don't walk in it? God will protect His name. How will He protect His name? He'll work around you and work through somebody else and let them get in on it and you miss out on it. You say, well, preacher, are you sure that's what the Bible teaches? Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 7, watch what it says. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. He said, I'm not going to let them pollute it. Why? Because I'm going to make sure my name is known. See, all God wants to do is manifest Himself. Manifest Himself. Why? Because when He manifests Himself, He's glorified. And when He's glorified, His name is spread abroad. And that's all God wants to do. Listen, folks. This ought to enrapture every fabric of our prayer life. It ought to be something that grips every fabric of our prayer life. I want to tell you something. These things have literally transformed over the years how I pray about things. Because used to, I would pray in this vein. Let me give you an example. How many agree, Liberty Baptist Church desperately needs a bus? If you've not seen our bus, if you had seen it, you would have said, Amen. And if you don't believe me, next day it rains, come and I'll take you for a free ride. Just make sure you got your umbrella when you're inside, because it leaks. How many agree we need a bus? How many agree God's got the provision? Now, there's two ways we can pray about it. God, we need a bus. Would you provide for us a bus? Because we need it for this and this and this and this and this. Or God, Father, I want to thank you today that before we had a need, you had the provision. And so, Father, that you would be glorified in ministry, that you would be glorified in every trip we take, that you'd be glorified in every retreat we go on, that you'd be glorified in every time it goes out to pick people up for church, that you would be glorified for this and that. Father, that you would be glorified, I want to thank you today that you're going to open our eyes to the provision you've made. Y'all see the difference? That's what we're talking about. Hallowed be thy name. All right, so that's the first thing. The second thing is the revelation of God's name. Not only the righteousness of God's name, but the revelation of God's name. You say, what do you mean? I thought we just looked at that. Well, no, specifically. How has God over the course of history revealed His name? He did it in three ways. The first is He did it in creation. He did it in His creation. How many of you agree today the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God? What does that mean? That means that God created the heavens and the earth. And when God created the heavens and the earth, listen, you look out on the creation of God and it just says about God, I am all-powerful, all-knowing, Elohim. I am the mighty Creator. I'm all-knowing, all-powerful. I am the only true and living God. Glorifies His name. So God revealed His name through creation. But God also revealed His name, secondly, through His communication. Now, what do you mean by communication? His Word. God has revealed Himself through His Word. Now, I want you to listen to this verse. This is a powerful little verse. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship towards the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Why will I praise you for your truth? Watch what it says. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Isn't that amazing? In other words, God has deemed that His word would be the revelation of who He is. Folks, I want you to listen. You can never hallow His name if you don't honor His Word. Because God's lifted it up. God's lifted it up. And this becomes the aspect of how God has communicated His name, His person, who He is. He's communicated it to us in creation. He's communicated it to us in communication. And thirdly, He communicated it to us in His Christ, His Son. I found this verse and it absolutely intrigued me. It took me a little bit to dissect it. But anyway, it's a messianic prophecy that's contained in the book of Exodus. It's about the Lord Jesus. Listen to what it says. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Notice angels in a capital A. Speaks of Christ. Now I want to tell you, Christ is much more than an angel. Y'all say amen. This is just picturing Him in His coming. Given of God, okay? So don't let that throw you. To keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Now watch this. Why? For my name is in where? Him. My name is in him. What does that mean? My person is Him. My person, my characteristics, my character, The identity of who I am is in Him. In other words, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And what did Christ come to do? Seeking to save that which was lost and to manifest who God is to a lost and dying world. John chapter 17, Jesus, in that last prayer before He goes to the cross, listen to what He says. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me, speaking of His disciples. Gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. I have manifested Thy name unto these men. In other words, here's what He's saying, Father, You're in me. I and You are one. When they've seen me, they've seen You. Father, I did what You sent me to do. To reveal who You are to a lost and dying world. Now I want you to listen to me. When you pray, have you ever asked yourself this question? Father, if You answer this prayer, will You be revealed? Will You be seen? I want to tell you, this will keep you from praying selfishly. It'll keep you from praying selfishly. Because if we really, really are serious, a lot of what we pray is what we want Him to do for us. Not what He wants to do through us for His glory. Hallowed His name. All right, let's look at the last thing tonight. The last thing. The reverence for God's name. So how do we hallow His name? I mean, if the Lord's admonition to us is, hallowed be Thy name, how does that become reality in our life? How do we do that? Well, I believe these things are how we hallow His name. And I want to take you through them real quick. We hallow His name through our recognition. Our recognition. What do you mean by that? Well, you must recognize who God is, what His purpose is, all these things that we've already talked about. You have to come to the place that that is absolutely ingrained within your mind and your heart. Because if you recognize those things and you know those things, how many degree it'll begin to affect how you approach Him. And it'll affect how you pray and what you pray. It'll affect the tone in which you pray. It'll affect the attitude in which you pray, the motivation through which you pray. And so recognition of who He is and what His name represents is the beginning of hallowing His name. I found this quote, and I want to read it to you. I thought it was profound. A man who brings into his concept of God ideas that have no place there takes the name of the Lord God in vain. Let me say that again. A man who brings into his concept of God ideas that have no place there takes the name of the Lord God in vain. Let me give you some examples. You ever talk to someone and they say, well, I want to tell you something. The good old God upstairs, He's been so good to me. That's vain. Blasphemy. Because I want to tell you, He is far more than that. That's lowering who He is. And hallowing His name is honoring who He is. Separating Him as holy and supreme. This is the idea of this. We have to go to God with a recognition for who He truly is when we pray. Our reverence. We hallow His name through our reverence. You must have a reverence for who He is. You must have a reverence for who He is. Leviticus 22, verse 2. Notice what it says. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel. Watch this. And that they profane not my holy name. How? In those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Then you say, wait a minute. That don't make sense. How can they profane Him in the things they hallow unto Him. How's that possible? Let me give you an example. The book of Malachi. How many agree the sacrifices were to be holy unto the Lord? Really? Right? How many agree those sacrifices were to be holy unto God? How many agree they were meant to be worshiped? And they were meant for your sins, depending on which ones they brought. But here's what took place. The book of Malachi. They started bringing sacrifices that were not without spot and not without blemish. They started bringing to God, if you will, the second best or the third best of what they had. They started bringing to God not what was the purest and what was the cleanest and what was the finest of what they had, but they started bringing to God those sacrifices that were lame and blind and diseased. Why? Because they were that way, they were no advantage to them anymore. What did God say about that? He said, quit bringing them. He said, because when you bring them, now y'all going to love me, say amen. You promise, say amen. Because when you bring them, it's as if you're coming with dung upon your face. That's what He says in the book of Malachi. What do you mean by dung? Thank you. Human waste upon your face. He says, it's if you're coming to me with human waste upon your face. Now I want you to listen to me. Please listen to me. If you haven't heard anything else I say, please listen to me. Your prayer life, if you're not careful, can be, even with your best intentions, can be an exercise in futility if you come to Him flippantly with the spare time instead of your best time, with part of your heart instead of all your heart. With this attitude. All right, God, I've got to hurry. So let me just say this real quick. When we pray, He deserves our best time, our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole affection. And He deserves our best. Are you with me? Reverence. Reverence hallows His name. All right, well, next one, our repentance hallows His name. Our repentance. So as we're praying and God is showing, remember, prayer life is not only us talking to Him, but what? Him talking to what? Us. So as we're praying and God's communicating with us through His Word, by the Holy Spirit, God begins to show us some things about ourselves. What do we do with those things? Because what we do with those things, how we respond to those things that God's showing us, will go directly to if we're hallowing His name. So if God shows me this issue in my life, and I say, that's not an issue in my life. And God's saying, that's an issue. No, it's not an issue in my life. That's an issue in your life. No, it's not an issue in my life. Y'all ever been there? Say amen. How many times God showed you something and you tried everything you can to excuse it away? I've had people come up to me at revivals and said, well, preacher, I just want you to know, if they'd have been here, you'd have got them. But here's the thing. If God speaks to us through prayer, through our Bible study, and we're not repentant before God, then guess what? We're not holy, holding His name up to be holy. We're not honoring His name. Look, Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. The Bible says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is what? Holy. I will dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one. He said, this is who I'll fellowship with. This is who I'll manifest myself with. Those that know my name is holy. And in view of who I am is holy, they're broken, repentant before me. Y'all with me? All right. Got two more and we're done. Our rest hallows His name. What do you mean rest? Our faith, our trust in Him. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. How many of you glad for that? Say amen. What is a strong tower for? Protection. And what do we do with a strong tower? Notice what it says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is what? Safe. When I hallow His name, when I separate and honor His name and lift it up as holy, I'm doing that with the understanding of His character, His nature, and all that we've talked about. But at the same time, I'm doing it with the understanding that I can rest and trust Him with everything that I am, everything that is a true need. I can trust Him. Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. And they that know Thy name. Watch this. Who is it going to trust Him? They that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek Thee. Let me tell you. When your prayer time gets rich, I want to tell you when it's going to get rich. Y'all ready? When you get to know Him in a personal relationship and intimacy. And you get to know Him and His character and His nature and who He is, not only as holy God, but also as your Heavenly Father. When you get to know Him, I want to tell you, it doesn't take much for you to trust Him. And when you trust Him, you can go to Him and have confidence that He is all you need. He's all you need. Last, our rejoicing hallows His name. Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, listen to this. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Let me close with this. What happens when I begin in my prayer life to honor Him, to set Him apart as holy in my mind, in my heart, in my motives, in my prayer life, that everything, God, You do in my prayer life is for Your name's sake, for Your glory and Your glory alone. And Father, You're my strong tower. There's nothing in my life I cannot come to You with. And Father, You're all these things. And You manifested Yourself towards me in mercy and grace and forgiveness. And You gave me what I couldn't have of myself, holiness and righteousness. And You enabled me by Your Spirit to walk in Your holiness and righteousness. You enabled me by Your Spirit to be able to commune with You. You enabled me through Your Son that the veil was rent from top to bottom that I could fellowship with You. You enabled me that I could come to You at any moment, at any time, and I could look to You not as a God way out there that I'll never know, but as a Heavenly Father. But a Heavenly Father that is holy. Father, I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch. And You knew that. And You saved me anyway. And You want to commune with me anyway. And You want to fellowship with me anyway. You knew all that about me, Father. And You still sent Your Son. You still saved me. How can You not rejoice? Praise You. Praise You, for You're worthy of praise. For Your name's sake,
I praise you, my Heavenly Father. And folks, I want to tell you, when this truth starts becoming reality, I want to tell you something. You'll start inventing times to spend with God. Because it'll get sweet in your closet. Amen? Father, I love you, I praise you, and I thank you. Father, thank you for these mighty truths about you. Thank you again for the privilege to be able to commune and fellowship with you. Father, I thank you that you're holy. I thank you that you're a jealous God. I thank you that you're jealous for your own name's sake. And I thank you, Father, that everything that we come to you with, we can come to you trusting you. That, Father, if this brings glory to you, if this honors your name, if this sets you apart in this lost and dying world, if this fulfills the purpose of enabling you to reveal yourself in a mighty way, then, Father, thank you for answering this prayer. Father, may that be our mindset when we pray. For you're holy and you're worthy of honor. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said,